Nicolet Bank is honored to support all who strive to make communities great. Newsmakers is a production of Wisconsin Eye. To keep programs like this free and accessible to all, please consider a charitable gift to wisi.org/donate or text WISI to 44321. This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. The Republican National Convention getting underway in Milwaukee next week will certainly be a who's who of the party, including our own Wisconsin VIPs. Former governor and presidential cabinet member Tommy Thompson is a convention delegate whose job has been and will continue to be energizing Wisconsin Republicans heading into November. Welcome, Governor Thompson.
Lisa, thank you for having me, and you are absolutely beautiful, and it's nice to be interviewed by
That's
you.
That's a perfect way to start our interview.
I think so.
How many Republican national conventions have you been to
12.
Over the years? 12 it's been.
My first one was in 1976, and I haven't missed one since. So every 4 years I have been at a Republican National Convention, and they're exhilarating, they're exciting, and I think having it in Wisconsin is really a cool, because Wisconsin has not had one since Abraham Lincoln, of course, when we started the Republican Party was in Wisconsin. So this is the first one ever for the modern Republican Party in Wisconsin.
History-making.
It's history-making, number one. Number two, they get to see a beautiful city in Milwaukee.
Best state in the country.
And the best state in the country. You know I was going to say that. And the fact is, it's so pivotal. It is the one state that's going to determine who wins the presidency. So it is really exciting.
Is that what you think is going to be different or special about
absolutely.
This convention?
There's no question about it. Wisconsin is the state. If Trump wins Wisconsin, he's going to be elected president of the United States, and more than likely we take over control of the United States Senate and the House of Representatives. So this is a huge moment for the Republican Party to give American world, the United States of America and the world, an opportunity to see Milwaukee, see Wisconsin, and see how darn nice we are here.
We are pretty nice.
In Wisconsin, Lisa.
You know, I want to get a sense for how you experience the convention. The convention lists many, many different events, some of them hosted by high-profile groups like the Heritage Foundation or the European Union. Are there any events that are on your calendar, things that you will not miss?
You're going to miss some because of the congestion, the difficulty from moving from one place to another. So you're going to miss some.
What are you looking forward to? Who do you want to see or talk to?
Well, I just want to talk to anybody that wants to talk to me. I'm a friendly guy. I love conventions because you never know what's going to happen. They're all different, and you're going to see different people. You're going to meet different people. You're going to be invited to a host of parties, which you. Some you're going to be able to make, some you're not, and some of the parties you're going to be because of logistics, you can make that one even though you would rather be over here, but it's impossible to be there. All of these things, and then you've got, of course, the Wisconsin delegation, which is going to be fun for me to.
You know all of those
I know
people.
Them all and be able to, you know, to renew old acquaintances and to just have a good time. Plus knowing that Wisconsin is in the center of the eye. The eyes of the world are on Wisconsin, on Milwaukee, and I just am so happy about that.
You know, the RNC and the Trump campaign, they released this program themes. Every day they'll be highlighting different policy changes that we might expect under a new Trump or a second Trump administration. Are there any topics or policy changes that you think people should be watching for?
Well, I think the platform this year is sort of slimmed down, so it's going to be.
Do you support the platform?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. I think, you know, the platform, you know, is a recognition of who the presidential candidate is. The presidential candidate, Donald Trump, has been chosen by the delegates to be our nominee, and he has had an inordinate amount of influence over what the platform is, and he should or whoever is the nominee should, and this will be the platform for the next 4 years. So it's what Trump wants to run on, and I say he's our nominee. I support him. I support the party, and let's get it on, because right now the Democrats are so mixed up, they don't know which direction to go. And so it's just a fantastic opportunity to be a Republican, a Wisconsin Republican.
You mentioned that that platform is shorter than in previous conventions. As just for an example, the platform has several chapters. The first chapter says, defeat inflation and quickly bring down all prices. It talks about how Republicans will immediately stabilize the economy by slashing wasteful government spending and promoting economic growth. And there's no other detail there. Do you think there should be more detail?
Let me tell you, I was at one time the chairman of the platform committee, and back in 2000, I was the chairman of it. I went through this. I held hearings all over the country. I held hearings in Washington. I held hearings in Wisconsin, and so on. And people argue over the darndest things, over one word. So I think it's fantastic that it's a much shorter document and much briefer document. And the truth of the matter is, Lisa, only reporters and somebody that's studying politics is going to read it. Nobody's going to read the platform.
It doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter that much. It matters because it sets the principles of the party, and that's what this document does. But as far as people reading this document and making that document decide how you're going to vote, it's nonsensical.
You know, as a former governor of Wisconsin, yes, you know how the dairy industry is the backbone of our economy in many ways. And so many of those farmers rely on immigrant labor.
That's true.
In the platform, it talks about this mass deportation policy.
Right.
Do you have any thoughts about how that policy might impact Wisconsin? Is there any reason to be concerned?
No, there's no reason to be concerned, because if somebody has got their job and doing well and has not committed any crimes, they're not going to get deported, I don't think. And I think the dairy industry, if they got good employees and are taking care of those employees are going to stay, and the dairy industry is going to be very successful. It is right now. And dairy and milk prices are going to go up for the dairy farmers. So I think it's an exciting time to be a dairy farmer in Wisconsin.
A lot of media, like you say, the media that's been reading this platform talk about the change in the platform around the abortion policy.
Oh, of course.
No longer talking about a national abortion plan. Do you think that that's the right position for the party?
Yes.
Going forward on abortion? Why?
Well, because first off, you got to make sure your candidate is comfortable with it, and he's comfortable with it. I mean, why set up a document that the nominee does not support or doesn't like? I mean, to me, it doesn't make any sense. And Trump has had a long enough time, you know, without any opposition in the primaries, to worry about the platform and what he wants to run on. This document reflects what our candidate wants to run on. So more power to him. I support him. And
Think it aligns with Wisconsin values?
I think it aligns with Wisconsin values very nicely. I think Wisconsin is a states' rights state. Abortion now has become a states' rights issue. Why shouldn't Wisconsin support that?
What do you think in this election in November is the top issue for Wisconsin voters?
I think it's inflation. I think it's open border. I think it's a strong defense militarily. I think it's protecting the rights of individuals. I think it's making sure that people are going to have a good economy and have a good job. I think it's going to be making sure the logistics system works. And I think it's being strong militarily to protect ourselves internationally, because we got all kinds of problems. What we've seen in the last 4 years is problems building up, and nobody is solving those problems, Lisa. And I want somebody in there. You know, hopefully this year it's going to be different. We're going to elect enough Republicans to control the Congress, and that the president and the Republicans show a difference between the leftward-leaning Democrats versus the right way, which I think is the right way, and the right-thinking Republicans are going to come in with. And I think their policies are so diametrically opposed, and we know the Democrat policies have failed, so let's Let's look at how we're going to close the borders or control the borders. Control the borders is better. And strong military, improve the economy, and reduce inflation, which Trump is going to be good at, and be strong internationally. I think, you know, the times are ready for a Republican president and Republican Congress. I think the issues are there for Republicans.
You've been talking about the issues and kind of the policy change you think is important for Republicans. You've been stumping for former President Trump. You were recently at a campaign event for him in Racine. Why is he the right person to lead your party and lead the country?
There's no other person in America, maybe with the exception of Ronald Reagan, that could bring a crowd together like Donald Trump. I've never seen that happen. He is able to move people, and no matter what state, he had, 100,000 people in the heart of New York, the strongest Democratic state in America. He had 100,000 people show up for a rally for him. No other Republican could ever do that. No other politician on either side could ever bring that kind of crowds together. He could do that in any state, any community in America. I mean, you gotta support somebody that has that ability and that kind of attraction and that kind of support from the people. And these are individuals that work, you know, in union jobs, work in a factory, work, you know, as a self-employed employer, small business person. And you, across the gamut, Trump is able to influence people and attract people. You gotta respect somebody that has that ability.
Do you think you'll have a chance to sit down with the former president at convention or have any kind of conversation with him?
I hope to be able to say hello to him, but he's going to be so busy. Everybody's going to be pulling at him, so I'm not going to be a pest. I mean, if he wants me to be involved in his campaign in Wisconsin, he's asked me to do that. And so if he wants to see me, of course I'll see him and talk to him, but I'm not going to make it. I got to see the president. I know President Donald Trump. I've been with him. I've talked to him many times. And so it's not necessary for me to see him again. I support him. And I know he's going to win Wisconsin. And if he wins Wisconsin, which I think he's going to, I think he wins the country.
He will be nominated on Thursday night. We're expecting to find out about a VP nomination on that Wednesday night. Do you have a prediction on a VP candidate? Who do you think that might be?
I think right now I think it's J.D. Vance. And I think the second one is going to be Doug Youngkin from Virginia. The third one is the governor of North Dakota, and the fourth one is Mark Rubio, and the fifth one is Tim Scott. No, Tim Scott number four, and Mark Rubio number five.
So that's, those are the five,
and those are the choices, and I think he's going to be the most comfortable with J.D. Vance, and I think that's, Trump likes to be comfortable, and so I think J.D. Vance is the one that's going to get the nomination.
Shifting a little bit to the current president, President Biden, I think maybe you've heard he had struggled with a debate recently.
Oh, everybody is. Everybody has heard that, Lisa. I know President Biden. I've worked with him and when he was in the U.S. Senate, and I felt sorry for him. I was embarrassed.
During his debate.
I was embarrassed for him, and I felt sorry for him. He's a better man than that. And I know that if he had the mental faculties that he had when he was U.S. Senate, he would not be running again. He would make that determination. I know him well enough.
What do you think he should do?
I think he should step down. You know, for the good of the country, I think he should. As a Republican, I hope he stays in, because I'm sure we win if he stays as the nominee. So as a Republican, I hope he stays in. But for the good of the country, I think President Biden should step down.
There's been a lot of conversation about the president's age. He's 81. A New York Times Siena poll says that about 74% of voters say he's too old for the job. May I ask how old you are, Governor?
I'm 81.
You're also 81?
Yeah.
Should there be an age limit?
Absolutely not. I mean, it depends upon the person. I mean, I would put myself up against anybody that wants to debate me at 81. If somebody 65, 55, I could hold my own, and I have no doubt about it. I don't know anybody at my age that can do 50 push-ups and 150 setups.
So it's not about the age.
It's not about the age. It's about the individual, about the person. And there's so many wonderful elderly people I don't consider myself old. I consider myself middle-aged at 81, and I'm 82. I want to make sure that people understand that it's not the age. It's the condition in the body.
He's just not able to do the
job. He's not able to do the job. And I think everybody recognizes that now, or a vast majority of people know that he is struggling doing his job.
Polls have been shifting since that debate.
Sure.
That an AARP Wisconsin poll shows Trump taking the lead over Biden in Wisconsin. Other polls, the Cook Political Report said the poll's still pretty tight in Wisconsin, Biden holding on to a slight lead. Do you trust polls at this time? Do you look at polls?
Sure. They're an indication. They're not the determining factor, but they certainly show a shift on what the population is feeling. And there's no question that the population has shifted towards Trump after the debate, and it's continuing to do so with the kind of confusion and the controversy that the Democratic Party's having right now, that inures to the benefit of Republicans. Anytime there's a kind of confusion, the market, the people are uncertain, and they're uncertain with the mental faculties and the ability of President Biden, and as a result of that, they're going to lean towards Trump, and Trump has got a chance.
You don't think President Biden can recover from that?
No, I do not.
So,
well, when, Lisa, in politics, when you're here and your fundraisers start pulling back, and then your party starts pulling back, and then your elected officials that are counting are pulling back and saying it's impossible pretty much to win. And I recognize that. The Democrats recognize that. That's why they're trying to find a way, you know, to get Mr. Biden to step down or fight a different candidate. I mean, you talk to any Democrats, they're going to say, we're a little concerned. And they are concerned because confusion causes that concern. And the people are concerned.
You know, Wisconsin has been tighter in the polls between Trump and Biden than a lot of the other swing states. Are there certain key groups of voters that now former President Trump really should be reaching out to in Wisconsin to kind of pull ahead?
Well, Wisconsin, once again, is the most pivotal state. I said it at the beginning, I'll say it again. If Wisconsin goes for Trump, Trump wins.
Do you think it's suburban?
So there's four things that Trump has got to do. The four principles that Tommy Thompson always, myself, I don't want to put myself out there, but this is what I believe in, how you win Wisconsin. Number one, you have to be here, and you have to present yourself, and you have to show up in Wisconsin. Number two, you have to be nice. Wisconsin likes people that are nice, and there's no question about it, and you have to have an agenda. You got to be able to tell the individual voter in Wisconsin what you're going to do for him or her. And that has not been done so much in the past. Those two things first. Number three, you got to spend resources here. And Hillary Clinton didn't spend resources, didn't show up, and she lost to Trump in 2016. And the fourth thing is you got to campaign, if you're a Republican, in Madison and Milwaukee.
Even those places that typically vote Democrat.
You're not going to carry them. But to reduce the amount of of victory for the Democrats is going to determine if you win the state.
Because it's such a slim margin.
That if you reduce the number of votes for the Democrats and get some of the Republicans or some of the independents to vote Republican in Madison and Milwaukee, you have a better chance to carry the state. Those four principles that I campaign on and tell people, that's how you win Wisconsin. And if Trump does that, he will win Wisconsin and he will carry the nation.
Some of those same polls that show former President Trump taking the lead over President Biden in Wisconsin show Tammy Baldwin still with a lead over Eric Hovde in the U.S. Senate race. Does that surprise you, or do you think that was too big?
No, that doesn't surprise me at all. But that doesn't mean that Tammy Baldwin is safe. It just means that it's a close race. And as the election comes, there's going to be a lot of money spent, a lot of comparisons, contrast between Eric Hovde and Tammy Baldwin, and that's going to be a determining factor this year in the election.
There's time for Mr. Hovde.
People this year are more excited to be voting for Republicans than they are Democrats. And so the enthusiasm of the voter is a big, important factor. And that's going to help down ballot for any Republican. It's the enthusiasm of your voters out there that's going to carry the independents. They're going to talk to their cousin who doesn't vote or encourage him or her to vote. The individual relative who doesn't come to the family reunions anymore because he doesn't want to talk politics. But if the enthusiasm there and the relatives circle around, they're going to be talking to him. They're going to convince him or her to vote for it. That is important. And that is the trend that's happening in Wisconsin right now. So all of this together, I wouldn't count out any Republican this year.
Not in the state races either.
No, the state Republicans, if they do the four principles that I laid out.
The Tommy Thompson principles.
They can win this state and they can carry the state.
So in the Baldwin and Hovde race, you ran against Tammy Baldwin a little over a decade ago. Do you still think she's a formidable opponent, or will it be easier to beat her?
I had an uphill battle because of what? President Obama. Obama was liked, and he was in the state a lot. His surrogates were here all the time. My candidate, President Romney, never showed up. Principles of Tommy Thompson didn't show up, and they lost Wisconsin big. If they would have come close to Obama in Wisconsin, I would have won.
So it's a different story this
time around.
It's
a different story, and that's what I'm telling you. It's a completely different story from when I ran. I would love to be running right now. I know I would win in 2024, but I'm not, and so I think Eric Covey's got a chance.
Will you be stumping for Mr. Hovde then?
I'm going to be involved in Republicans all the way across the board.
We can't.
I'm a Republican. I'm positive to be a Republican. I'm excited about being a Republican this year.
And always, I'm sure.
Yes, I am. Pretty much.
We can't have you on the show and not ask you about the University of Wisconsin system, which is part of your career as former president of the system. The legislature just released some grant funding for the two-year campuses. Now, six of the two-year campuses are either closed or closing. Does that closure of those two-year campuses, does that surprise you?
No.
Or is that overdue?
No, it is not. Here's the problem. I asked 3 years ago, let's have a blue ribbon study committee of the funding of Wisconsin universities and the two-year campuses. And I've said that, and I'll say it again. They need to make an exhaustive study of what they can afford and what they cannot afford. You cannot have a vocational school in the same city with a two-year campuses that's one block away, or they share a parking lot together, or share offices together.
They weren't going to be able to both survive.
They both can't survive because we have a declining student population. So what you have to do is you have to put those areas together, the vocational schools and the two-year campuses, and make them junior colleges or community colleges. If you do that, they can survive. And that's what I've been advocating for long. People are not listening, but that's what you need to do. And if you do that, have a study committee and put the vocational schools and the two-year campuses together and make them a community college and teach both at the same structure, get rid of duplication, and you can survive and you can fund them and you can have people have access to college and vocational schools together. That's what needs to be done. I've said it once, I'll say it again, and if they follow my lead, they will succeed.
There is a study committee that's meeting for the first time today, so you know perhaps they will be discussing some of these things.
I hope so. I hope they ask me to testify because I would love to lay it out.
Well, we will make sure that they hear that after our show today.
Okay.
You know, an external review recently showed significant structural deficits in 10 of the state's public universities. President Rothman says Wisconsin ranks 42nd in the nation for public funding of the university system, and that he says it would take $440 million in order to get Wisconsin up to the median of state funding for its public university system. Do you think that there's an opportunity in the next state biennial budget to prioritize the University of Wisconsin system?
The university should be prioritized, but it's not money alone. It's not money alone. I mean, that's an easy one. Everybody says, just send more money. You got the same rickety old structure, and you throw money at it. The old rickety old structure is not improved. And so they have too many people. They got to find ways in order to control costs, And once they do that and get their rickety old structure better in shape, more streamlined, they're going to be able to do okay.
Turning back to the convention a little bit as we get to toward the end of our interview, how big of a deal or how big of an opportunity is it for Milwaukee and for Wisconsin to have that national convention here? How can we capitalize on that?
Be Wisconsin nice. Let the world see how nice Wisconsin is. Can you imagine the vista that's going to be shown, this beautiful Lake Michigan out there, the beautiful buildings of downtown Milwaukee, how nice people are? If you're nice and people see the aesthetics, the beauty of Milwaukee and the surrounding areas and the lake and all that we have to offer, and then have nice people, people are going to fall in love with Wisconsin. And they should.
They decide to move here.
They should. Wisconsin is a growing state. Wisconsin has got so much to offer.
You know, Milwaukee sometimes gets a bad rap. I know in the legislature we often hear criticism from Republican legislators about the failing public schools, the fiscal challenges, the you know, crime rate in the city. Do you think that that's fair criticism of the city of Milwaukee?
The education system's got to be improved. Everybody knows that. Wisconsin's, Milwaukee's school district, I've said it before, you know, they need to be... that structure needs to be changed, needs to be modernized. And until they do that, they're not going to improve the education system. And that's what they have to do. Milwaukee's a beautiful city. It's got great people, and it's just nice. Milwaukee's a great major city in America, and people got to do it. But the educational system, K-12 system, by any extension, by any evaluation, by any kind of symmetrics, is hurting, and they need to improve it. First, they got to do something about their school board. Secondly, they got to do something about having one giant school district. I've advocated for a long time Milwaukee school district should be divided into four equal parts, and then have a separate school board for each one. Have the competition with those four city school districts within Milwaukee. You're going to improve education, and you're going to improve the communication and the transparency, and it's going to make the education system much stronger and better.
What do you hope delegates and other visitors to Milwaukee and Wisconsin see while they're here during convention?
I hope that they see, first off, the beauty. Secondly, see our great museums, our seas, and our wonderful university system that we have there, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. See all the new buildings, see the new sports complex we got downtown, which is one of the finest in the country, and go to some of the wonderful restaurants we have. Some of the great German restaurants in Milwaukee, you know, are the tops in the world. And you, Dylan, you've been there. And all this, what's lacking? Nothing. They got everything they want and need, and I want them to leave Wisconsin saying, God, I had a wonderful time there. It's a beautiful city, and the people were great. That's what I'm hoping for.
Where will we see Governor Thompson next? Will you be, after this convention, will you be alongside the president as he makes visits? Will you be with Senate candidate Hovde? Is there anything on your calendar you can preview for us?
I'm appearing for a lot of people, a lot of different things.
You'll be busy.
I don't know, but they still want me to come, so I'm pretty much in demand. I got Dean Stensberg who is holding up my calendar, and all kinds of legislative candidates and senatorial candidates, congressional candidates, and President Trump has asked me to get very much involved in his campaign. So I'm going to be busy, and I'm going to be there wherever I'm needed, because I want this year to be a Republican year, and I want us to win, and I want to show Wisconsin and America that the Republican direction is a better direction than what we've seen the last 4 years.
Well, thank you for joining us on Wisconsin Eye today. Well, we appreciate it.
Well, Lisa, thank you. You're a wonderful interviewer, and it's been a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the policymakers who make a difference in our state.
Nicolet Bank is honored to support all who strive to make communities great. You have been watching a production of Wisconsin Eye, your unfiltered window into legislative deliberations and public policy programming, where our mission is to provide Wisconsinites an opportunity to access the legislative process and connect with conversations that inform our citizenry. Please consider supporting our mission, and thank you for watching. Wisconsin Eye, policy made public.